I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Amen. My father and I were rowing in a small canoe on the still waters of Wonder Lake on a slightly drizzly Alaskan day. The mountain views just beyond the lake were stunning. We were, at least in my memory, the only humans on that body of water that day. And in so many ways, it felt as if we were the only humans on Earth. I had just found out weeks before that my father had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Our trip had been scheduled many months before, but now held a more intense and urgent purpose. For now, my father could still row the boat. For now, my father could still speak. For now, he could swallow and laugh out loud and tell me that he loved me. All things that we would never take for granted again, and that we would miss for many years before he finally departed this earthly world. My father was facing forward, and I was facing my father. We were quiet, in our own worlds, pondering the great mysteries of the magnificence of creation, which was the most common activity my father and I engaged in together. But I broke the silence and asked, "What are you thinking about, Pop?" I don't recall exactly what he said, but it turns out he was writing a poem entitled Filigree Rain. I know that because before he died, he gave me a photo of Wonder Lake that he took, printed on paper that he made, and put in a wooden frame that he built with that poem he had written, printed on the paper. What this picture and poem reminds me of is actually what I was thinking as I sat staring at my father, looking in another direction, unknowingly to me forming a poem in his heart. What I was thinking as I sat there was that I didn't know how much longer I had with him, my father and my best friend. That was the truth. I didn't know how much longer I had with him. And I remember thinking, soak this in, Millie. Soak it in. Let this moment, this memory of you and your father together on this still lake, in this perfect Alaskan air, let this moment be. Take it in. Let it be in you. That was, in fact, the last trip to Alaska that my father and I were able to take. The truth is, I had him for many years to follow, but he was never the same. And the truth is, I will always, always have that moment with my father on Wonder Lake, because it lives inside me forever. This is how truth works. This is the spirit of truth. It is an indwelling, incarnational reality. And once we know the spirit of truth, once we meet her and accept her and allow her to dwell in us, the truth remains in us forever, and we are changed. The disciples in our reading today are anxious and grief-stricken. And Jesus is speaking to them, preparing them for no longer having him in the flesh. He says, I will not abandon you. The Spirit of truth is coming to you, and you will know it. And then you will know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is how truth works. Jesus is saying to his anxious students, do not be afraid. No person, no thing, not even death can separate us if you allow the truth to be in you. And if you follow my commandments, then you will always love me and I will always love you and thus be in you. Jesus is helping them to see that they are being short-sighted, that fear has made them short-sighted. They are afraid to lose him. They are afraid that without him, they will be lost and unable to do the work he has given them to do. But Jesus is reminding them of the truth, that everything they need, everything he had to offer them lives within them now. They have it all. Everything they need to do the work God calls them to do. Jesus is telling them they have the truth and it lives within them forever. When we are ordained as clergy, the bishop asks us this question. Do you believe that the holy scriptures of the Old and New Testament contains all that is necessary for our salvation? And we reply, I do. What our scripture contains that is all we need for salvation is this, the Spirit of truth. Now, I did not say facts, I said truth. Our scripture contains within it all of the truth that is necessary for our salvation, all that we need to build the kingdom of God, which is our salvation, is found within these holy words. If we choose to accept them, if we choose to take them in, let them be in us and thus be transformed, we have everything we need. So if we have everything we need, why then do we still suffer and struggle? And why does the kingdom of God still elude us? Jesus says, if you love me, follow my commandments. Now I am certain that there was no disciple that questioned their love for Jesus. Knowing the way is very different than following it. Bell Hooks, in her book named All About Love, states, the heart of justice is truth-telling. Seeing ourselves and the world the way it is, rather than the way we want it to be. More than ever, she says, we as a society need to renew a commitment to truth-telling. The disciples had all they needed. We have all we need. They and we have the truth, but that doesn't mean it is yet within us. One of the consequences of this pandemic has been that a light has been cast on the disparities that exist in the access to basic necessities and to equal rights of those that are marginalized in this country. And yet, did we not have that truth before? Of course we did. Having the truth is different than letting it live within us. And knowing the way doesn't mean we are willing to walk it. Jesus says, follow my commandments. In Bible study this week, the question came up, which commandments? All of them. Jesus says, all of the commandments, of which the foundational commandment is to love ourselves, our neighbors, and God. That is the way, and the truth, to love. And to love is an action. And it is the response of seeing the truth, of seeing it, letting it soak in and become a part of us. In Naomi's reflection for Tuesday, in her profound letter she addressed to her son, a black man, she wrote, "The truth is, this system is killing us. The truth is, this system we have now and have had from the beginning of our nation is not working for so many, many people. And in fact, the system is killing so many. But do we see that truth? Are we willing to let that soak in, to let it be in us? Or do we revert, as Bell Hooks speaks, to seeing the world the way we wish it was, the way it is, perhaps, for us, but not for our neighbor? We have all we need. We have the truth. We have the way. And God will not abandon us. Because God has given us the spirit of truth that is in us. God is, as our reading states today, the God in which we live and move and have our being. God cannot abandon us any more than we can abandon our own breath. But just like our breath, the truth must be in us. We must have the courage to see the world the way it is and not the way we wish it to be. We must be willing to see the truth and let it be in us if we are to have the courage and the will to follow the way, to follow Jesus's commandments, because truth is the foundation of love. To do so, to let the truth of the world the way it truly is be a part of us, we must listen deeply to the experience of those most impacted. We must sit and look and listen to the pain and the beauty. Sit and listen to the realities of our neighbors. And then let that truth be in us and then to be transformed. When we do this, when we allow those stories to become a part of us, we can no longer ignore our neighbor, and our only response to that truth will be to love in action. To end Naomi's reflection, she asked us as a congregation to recommit ourselves to the actions required of us to follow the way. The actions we have been called into by Jesus, the actions of love that this world desperately needs if there is to be any justice at all, if we are to build the kingdom of God, if we are to have salvation. Sitting that day with the stark reality that my father was dying and that I had him only a little longer was painful. And it felt as if my heart was breaking, but it was also so beautiful and so true. And by the grace of God, I did sit with that truth, and it became a part of me, the truth of my father's love for me and mine for him. And that beautiful moment will be with me forever. Not even death can take it from me. But through loving action, I give his memory and legacy life. I want to share a bit of the truth of that love with you now as we close. I want to read the poem he was writing in his heart. I have it hanging in my office because it gives me courage when I feel weak. It gives me hope when I feel downtrodden. It reminds me that I have all I need and that I can and must risk for love. Filigree Rain by Bob Morrow. We sat together, you and I, on Wonder Lake in the canoe, with the filigree rain around us like a cloak, and listened, listened, listened to the sand hill cranes overhead calling. Amen.